Oh yeah, it's important.
Now it's time.
Yeah, now it's time for the recording. All right, here's our conference theme from the Big Book, page 11.
Who are you?
I'm Roof, and I'm an alcoholic. Can I read now? Thank you. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he ever had, best than he had ever known. Had this power originated in him? Obviously it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past, here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. I saw that my friend was much more inwardly recognized. He was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. Maybe I pronounced that wrong. There we go. Thank you. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as a creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of Tsar of the heavens, however loving his sway might be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. My friend suggested that then seemed a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point upon a foundation of complete willingness. I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Thus I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. Speakers. All right, our 15 minute opening speaker tonight is from Tucson. Please help me welcome Dave.
Hey everybody, my name's Dave. I'm an alcoholic. Never been addressed that way in a meeting before. The people that had 24 hours, not every AA meeting is like this one. Just so you know, we don't do this every night. It's not like this. This is the most interesting crowd I've ever addressed at an AA meeting. You know, in the book, they talk about we're like people that were on a great ship. You know, and I think we'd be on the USS Looney Tunes. I mean that in a good way. So I got sober in Philadelphia. A great place to drink and a great place to sober up, I guess. It lasted. I just picked up a 21-year chip. And this goes out to the new people, too. I didn't fully intend to stay sober this long. I got to be honest with you. I had just reached a point where I couldn't drink and I couldn't not drink. And I had to try something different. And I didn't go to AA right away. I don't recommend doing that. But that was the way I got sober. This guy in Philly, he called that sobriety when... not going to meetings, don't have a sponsor, don't have a home group, don't have any higher power. And I reached a point I was ready to straight up kill myself, and it was pretty serious. As far as drinking, I was not the person probably most of you would want to associate with. I was a blackout drinker, so I can't recollect everything that happened when I was out there. I remember when I came to AA, I couldn't buy any of the steps, really. You know, and I'm sorry to say this, I was spiritually bankrupt. I was really not into the capital G God steps and his and thou, and that's just what I was like when I came in. And I was really, really afraid of the ninth step. And so anyway, I'm sitting there at my first meeting, and I think the only thing I could come away with was the second half of the first step. My life was unmanageable. I didn't really understand what powerlessness and unmanageability really meant. Anyway, that's what I was like when I first came in. And most of the people that I went to meetings with in Philly were real hardline sobriety people, very no-nonsense kind of people. Most of them were older. And, you know, I was into kind of freaky stuff. I was into punk rock and motorcycles and just different stuff. And I'm glad that I found what became my home group. It was Center City Young People's. And that, I think, kind of unlocked the key for me a little bit, just kind of meeting people that were into the same stuff I was into. You know, I believe anybody can get sober anywhere if they're really ready, but I think the young people's meeting in Philly really helped me. And it helped me when it was difficult stuff, because the meeting got big, and I was the treasurer, I was the secretary, I was the chairperson. We did all this stuff, and we would have these business meetings, and we would argue about should we have decaf hazelnut flavored coffee and just stuff, you know. And I would call the guy that was my sponsor at the time, and I'd be like, I gotta quit this group, man. I mean, they're driving me fucking nuts. And he was like so mellow. He'd be like, you know, you could do that, but you're probably gonna get something. You know, he wouldn't tell me not to quit. So then, of course, I'd not quit. And anyway, I managed to stay sober, and a lot of us managed to stay sober and help a lot of people. So then we started forming committees, and this was when it got kind of fun, because it was in downtown Philly where our meeting was, and it was a big meeting. And chairing meetings back there, it's a little different. It's a little traditional. You know, you got to put your hand up if you're the chairperson. You're kind of half warden, half zookeeper, lion tamer, because the meeting can really get derailed. You have to have strong formats. At least that's what we found, because our meeting would get derailed sometimes, and it was kind of crazy. But we learned a lot of stuff, and I learned a lot of stuff. I can remember people coming in the meeting and being intoxicated and disrupting the whole meeting, and we had to take group inventory and group conscience about that, you know, and the stuff we learned was the group was most important, you know, and you had to have the meeting there for when the person was ready to come back and get it. And that was just the kind of stuff that we went through back then. A lot of drama, a lot of people relapsing. I'm sorry to say I've seen a lot of people die. It's no fun. It's just kind of part of it. Don't want to be a bummer, but it's kind of how it works. You know, the stuff they put in the book, they're not putting it there to scare you. It's the truth. So anyway, I moved out to Tucson. I was sober 12 years. I was married at the time. I was married to a woman. She got sober when she was 15. She's still sober. We're not together anymore, but we're still good friends. She has over 25 years of sobriety. She got sober in 86. Young people can get sober and make it. Relapse, you don't have to go back out. I've been sober for a little while. I haven't drank since I've been to AA. I haven't had to go back out. So, I don't know. I could tell you a little bit about what it's like now. I'm kind of anxious to hear the speaker from Texas, but that's really why I came. I think thing about AA is it's given me things I didn't even know I wanted. I talk about being so grateful to have a valid driver's license. And it sounds so basic, because everybody else out there is like, yeah, no shit, you know? But we're all like, wow, yeah, I'm gonna have a, that's great, you know? It's funny. I do a lot of different stuff. Like I said, I'm into motorcycles. I ride a chopper. I play in a band. We play punk rock. We swear a lot. I coach my girlfriend's roller derby team. The Copper Queens from Tucson. That's fun. And it's funny because, like, you can apply this stuff in doing that, you know, like... It is actually the 12 steps really is a good guide for living, you know, for me, because it gives me a set of guidelines and parameters to live my life, and I really had none before I sobered up. Essentially, don't get caught was my deal. I had an interesting month, so I had an anniversary. We call them anniversaries in Philly. I had an anniversary, and then I just turned 45 Thursday night. What, no applause? 45. You don't have a cheer. You're old, or something like that. Throw him out, he's an old guy. Nothing. So, but no, I want to tell you guys something. I'll tell you this one little story, and then I'll wrap up. It's been 15 minutes, right? No? Close. So, on the... It was the 29th of September. I remember this day. I remember it was the 29th of September. It was like last month. I know because there's paperwork. There were tickets. There's hospital bills and all that. I was driving my truck, and I got in a car accident. I got knocked out, split my eye open, and I was a blackout drinker. So when I kind of came out of this getting knocked out, I immediately started arguing with a cop because she didn't like where I was standing. I cracked my truck up, and... I tried to drive away, and my eye was split open, and they took me to the hospital. I had an ambulance ride and all this and that, but that day reminded me of what it was like being out there. So I come out, and they cut my shirt off, so I walk out of the emergency room with a stitched-up black eye, no shirt on. Like my brother said, the only thing missing was a giant Slurpee. And my girlfriend's driving me, and I don't know where my truck is. It's my 66 Chevy pickup. I love this truck. Hot rod, and I don't know which towing place has it, so I got a splitting headache. And it just goes on, and it reminded me so much of what it was like when I was out there. It was like having a bad job. I've heard that before, and I think it sums it up perfectly. Anyway, I ended up getting my truck back. The cop ended up writing me a ticket. We disagreed about that, but I did the right thing and paid my fine and went to traffic school, and as long as I don't get a ticket for another 2 years, I'll be okay. But I don't know, that day just kind of reminded me just of just, you know, how messed up it can get really quick. And, you know, I always say it, I don't want to get back in the ring with alcohol. I'm very, very grateful. I have gratitude. I got 15 years, I got gratitude tattooed on my chest.